it is.
Thank God it's
And away we go with a Sports Rush Friday edition. High school football sectionals getting underway tonight. We've got it covered. We are going to be up in Kendallville. The East Noble Knights hosting the Leo Lions. Our coverage begins officially at 6 o'clock with the Parkview Sports Medicine High School football tailgate pregame show. Jim Shevlin, Shannon Griffith, and Dute. Giving you previews of tonight's action all over Class 1A, 2A, 3A, and 4A. Of course, 5A and 6A have the bye this week. They'll get started next week. Next week, we're going to be out at Carroll for the Homestead Spartans and the Carroll Chargers. But tonight, we are up at East Noble as the Leo Lions take on the East Noble Knights, a rematch of an NE8 game from earlier this year, which was dramatic, to say the least. It was a blowout for a while. Then it was a furious comeback by East Noble, tied at 32, before Leo then scored to take a 40-32 lead, and they got the defensive stop right at the end of the game and ended up beating East Noble by the final of 40-32. Now the rematch tonight. I would expect a much different game. I would expect that this game is going to have much better defense than what you saw in game one, because both teams now have seen what the other team does. So I think this will be a fun game tonight up in Kendallville. Great atmosphere, huge crowd expected, and we're going to be all over it. If you're going to the game tonight, make sure you say hi to the guys. They'll be sitting at the tent doing the live broadcast starting at 6, right there where you enter the stadium, so you can't miss them. Shannon and I have the play-by-play call. Then after the game, come join us at the Kendallville Pizza Hut. That's right there on the main drag through Kendallville. You can stop by and see us after the game up until 11 o'clock. We've got scores, highlights, coaches, interviews, and more for tonight's high school football all around the area. Caleb Hatch and I will be there together. If you can't make it, make sure you get a carryout order. Maybe you pick it up on your way home. You can even have delivery. Or you can watch our show. We'll be Facebook Live tonight. If everything goes well from a technological standpoint, we will be streaming the show, so you can watch the video form of our show tonight on our Facebook page at facebook.com/1380thefan. It is a big night of high school football. It's the second season, the postseason. Win and advance, lose, and it's the end of the season, the end of the road. And so, what, about half of the 4A, 3A, 2A, and 1A programs will see their season end tonight, and it's on to winter sports. 5A, 6A, they'll start the process next week. So good luck to all our area teams. Of course, tonight's schedule, if you look at the brackets, we've got in Class 4A, DeKalb is at Wawa C tonight, Leo at East Noble, Northridge at Northwood, Angola at Columbia City. That's all part of Sectional 19. Now in Sectional 20, the Marion Giants coming to Fort Wayne to take on the Wayne Generals. You've got Southside on the road down at Delta. Jay County will be at Mississinewa. New Haven on the road at Huntington North. In Class 3A, Lakeland makes the trip to John Glenn. West Noble's at Jimtown. Mishawaka Marion at South Bend, Washington. And that winner will play the winner of Tip Valley at Garrett. Of course, Tip Valley undefeated. The Garrett Railroaders, 4-5. That will be up in Garrett tonight. In Sectional 27, Class 3A, Norwell, with their 8-1 record, six straight wins, they'll be on the road to take on Maconaqua. You got Northwestern winless on the year against Concordia with just one win. Oak Hill is at Belmont, and Heritage on the road at Peru. In Class 2A, you've got Bluffton at Eastside, Whitco at Central Noble, Fairfield Lures, that game will be at Lures Field, at Bishop Dwenger. And then you've got Prairie Heights at Woodland to round out the Class 2A action. And then taking a quick look and see if I have got 1A available. I know that I did have it here. Let me just see if I can access 1A. For some reason, the 1A didn't print. But in 1A, Sectional 43, you've got South Adams on the road at Madison Grant. And then in Sectional 44, you've got Northfield up at Fremont. North Miami is at Southwood. Adams Central, Busco. Boy, is that going to be a great game tonight up in Turtletown. starts with the great pork burgers, and we'll wrap up with a terrific football game between two really good football teams. Now, I've got my high school football picks of the week. If you missed them yesterday, I will replay them for you before we finish the show so you know who I am taking in that game. And then Triton got a bye in that sectional 44. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. That's where you fire away any questions, comments, or suggestions. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Coming up on the show, we're packed with guests. We talk Comet hockey with Justin Cohn. He'll join us coming up in about 10 minutes from now in our number two, IU football. Yeah, the Hoosiers taking on the Ohio State Buckeyes tomorrow down in Bloomington. Oh, boy, the Hoosiers have to be better in so many different phases if they're going to compete with Ohio State. Number one, defensively, they've shown some signs. Now, it hurts if they don't have all of their players available, especially in the secondary, and they've had some problems with injuries in the secondary. But defensively, I don't think they will just get absolutely torched by Ohio State. But can they score any points against the Ohio State defense? Indiana's offense has struggled, and the primary struggles have been at the line of scrimmage. The offensive line has not been anywhere near what Indiana expected it to be this season. As a result, quarterbacks don't have a lot of time. Michael Penix has ended up hurt. It looks like it will be Jack Tuttle tomorrow night, although the Hoosiers being very mum about it. I don't know if they want Ohio State to believe there's a threat of Michael Penix playing. You remember last year, Michael Penix had a big game against Ohio State. So did Ty Freifogel. In fact, I kind of feel like Freifogel may be an X factor in this game. Indiana's going to have to make some big plays offensively because they're not going to be able to move it 4 yards at a time on the ground down the field against the Ohio State Buckeyes. They got to have some game-busting plays. And Ty Freifogel, the best threat to do that, he did it last year against Ohio State. This year, though, he's consistently dropped the football. And number two, you don't have the time to sit back and unload the deep ball because the pressure comes and then the quarterback has to scramble. He has to dump it off underneath or throw it away. So Indiana's going to have to find a way to get some over-the-top plays. And I think Ty Freifogel might be a key to that for the Indiana Hoosiers if they're going to compete with the Ohio State Buckeyes. But we'll talk to Zach Osterman about that coming up at 5:20 today. And then Coach Ben Boudreau. Seems like yesterday we were talking to Coach about, number one, having a baby, and number two, celebrating a Kelly Cup championship. Well, now he's got both. He's got the championship, he's got the baby, and it's time for a new season. 70th season of Comet Hockey gets started tomorrow night at the Memorial Coliseum. What surprises me is there are still tickets available. So if you'd like to go see the Comets tomorrow night, you can get your tickets, Memorial Coliseum ticket office, or go online to Ticketmaster, and let's sell out the jungle and celebrate this championship. Because, you know, the celebration of the championship kind of is a carryover from the celebration that took place on the ice with the cup and all last year. It's now going to continue because they're going to have the raising of the championship banner. They're going to have the presentation of championship rings to the players that were part of that team last year. All of that will be part of the pregame ceremonies. Of course, there's always plenty of pomp and circumstance surrounding the opening night of Comet Hockey. So get out to the Coliseum, enjoy it. We'll talk to Ben Boudreau about it. You know, I wonder, with a coach who collects a new group of players and wants to focus on what's ahead and maybe not try to rest on the laurels of what is behind, I wonder what Coach Boudreau thinks about having all of the ceremonies before the game. Good thing? Bad thing? Is it a chance to maybe lose focus? We'll find out. We'll talk to Ben Boudreau about that coming up around 5:30 this afternoon. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Last night, Thursday night football, not a lot of offense, but we did see the Cleveland Browns defeat the Denver Broncos, handing the Broncos their fourth straight loss. Got to be tough for DC, a big Broncos fan, our former producer on this show, because they were off to a 3-0 start. He was just having a great time on social media. All of a sudden, he's gone a little silent after they've lost four straight games. For Cleveland, they now have improved to 4-3 on the season. You know, I think we saw last night, really, what it means to kind of put together a complete roster. Because your roster is not just the 22 guys that start on offense and defense. It's the next man up group that you have to count on, especially during a 17-game season. Cleveland, to me, has balance in almost every position group. Defensive line, average, above average, Miles Garrett, very solid player up front for the Browns. Linebackers, they went out to improve, drafting the guy that's got an impossible name from Notre Dame. He now is part of the Browns, although he's hurt.
Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah.
Thank you very much, Caleb. I count on you to jump in and save me on some of these names. And then their secondary's had some improvement. But offensively, you look at what they've done drafting, and they've gone out, they've built an offensive line that when Joe Thomas retired, the offensive line was really not very good. He was an anchor of an average offensive line. Without him, it was a poor offensive line, and they've rebuilt it. They went out, they got free agency to bring in a couple of wide receivers. They've drafted well. They've signed other guys. I mean, Chubb obviously is a hit in the backfield. He's kind of the Browns version of Jonathan Taylor. You've got, and then, you know, you get a guy that's an undrafted guy that you sign, D'Ernest Johnson, who, you know, you didn't miss a beat with him last night. Part of that is because a good offensive line creating holes, but he ran hard, low pad level, continually drove the ball for 7, 8, 9 yards a carry. Boy, it was an impressive first drive for Cleveland. I thought it was going to be a blowout the way Cleveland came out and moved the ball offensively on that very first drive. But I really like the way the Cleveland Browns have been built. Sure, they're not, you know, 6-1 or anything like that, but I don't know if they hit on Mayfield. And I think that can be the difference with quarterback. You know, and then you look at Chris Ballard, who gets all the praise in the world, and some of the things the Colts have done in trying to build their roster, especially adding depth to their roster. And it's not a great track record for Chris Ballard, especially over the last couple of years. Now, remember, this is a guy the Colts decided to extend. And I think around the league, he's got a great reputation. But he's hit on about 1 out of every 3, maybe even 1 out of every 4 draft picks. A couple of those hits were pretty big hits, but it's like a guy that goes up there and hits 2 home runs and strikes out 10 times. I mean, you could say, hey, he's a great home run hitter. But then you also have to look at the fact that there might be 10 times he came up to the plate with a runner in scoring position and he didn't deliver. And I just was looking at some of the signings the Colts made trying to build depth. Here's just a list of some of the guys from the time free agency started that the Colts went out and signed. Trying to build depth in the offensive line. The first two guys that the Colts signed in free agency, number one was Sam Tevy, and number two, Julian Davenport. Those are the first two names the Colts went out and signed quickly, as if they had gotten their eye on them and wanted to lock those guys up and got them signed within the first week or so of free agency. Then later in March, they sign free safety Sean Davis, who's not with the team. Offensive guard Chris Reed. We'll give him credit for Chris Reed because he's been fantastic. In fact, Chris Reed, even with Quentin Nelson on the path to return, Chris Reed is still going to be almost a part-time starter. He's going to split reps with Mark Lewinsky at the right guard spot, and he deserves that. In fact, I'm not so sure he doesn't deserve to be the regular right guard. Other guys that Ballard signed in the offseason in May signed Eric Fisher, who, of course, was injured at the time. Now he's off the injury, but the jury is still out on whether you'll ever see the Eric Fisher that was a Pro Bowl caliber player. Defensive tackle Antoine Woods, he ended up being cut, eventually was just re-signed this past week to the practice squad. Kicker Eddie Pinheiro. Well, so they brought in a kicking competition. Ended up sticking with Rodrigo Blankenship, who ended up hurt. You know if Pinheiro is kicking for anybody? Did he ever get picked up by anybody else? I don't know if he's kicking in the NFL this year or not.
Not that I know of.
Because it's odd that the Colts didn't go back to him because the competition wasn't lost by Pinheiro. It was just that both kickers were pretty much perfect in all of the situations where they had a competition. And eventually the Colts just decided if nobody's going to miss, we'll stick with the guy we already have and know. And I'm surprised when Blankenship got hurt that the Colts didn't go to Pinero if he's not with somebody else. Then in July, the Colts went out, signed Brett Hundley. Don't get that. I don't know why Hundley was a guy they wanted. Defensive tackle Joey Ivey. He got signed just as training camp opened. I think he probably got cut before training camp closed. I don't know the name, Joey Ivey. Cornerback Holton Hill. Clearly not a help because the Colts are kind of thin at corner. Defensive end, Demontre Moore. I mean, there a lot of guys they went out and got, and it's like there's no splash. You look at what the Browns did. They went out and drafted where they needed to get better. The ones they couldn't draft, they went out and signed some key players. And, man, they filled it up right. Chris Ballard's refusal to go out and try to pay a top free agent, I think, is paying its price with the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, they don't have a wide receiver that can really count on as number one. T.Y. Hilton, Michael Pittman. Don't know if either one is a true number one. One's a deep vertical threat and been around a long time. Pittman, I think, is still young and can maybe eventually be a number one, but he's not going to be an elite wide receiver. As I've said, I like a number one receiver that can hurt you over the top and hurt you vertically, and I don't see Michael Pittman as a guy that can consistently be a deep threat. He's more a possession-type receiver. Now, he can be very good as a possession-type receiver, especially on third-down situations, but I don't know that he's that bona fide number one receiver that you talk about or you hear about. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we got Justin Cohn, Comet Hockey, opening weekend. We'll talk to Justin about what we don't know. And we don't know a lot because we didn't get a chance to see this team play any preseason games. So what do the coaches' staff know? What does Justin know? Hopefully he can educate us on what this team is going to be, what type of identity they will have, and what the expectations are. Justin Cohn from the Journal-Gazette joins us next here on The Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Rolling through a Friday edition of The Sports Rush, I am Brett Rump along with Caleb Hatch. Tomorrow night at the Coliseum, the Comets open their 70th season of Comet Hockey. And it will be a little different look for fans that just attended Comet Hockey about 3-4 months ago. And to fill us in on how that look has changed, we're joined now on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline from the Journal-Gazette. It is Justin Cohn. Good afternoon, Justin.
How's it going?
It's going well. We thought we'd get a first look at some of these guys and get a little bit of an idea of what the Comets have assembled for this 2021-2022 campaign. Didn't get that look. Maybe you've seen more than we have. So what type of team is this? What is the identity as you see it with this hockey club?
Boy, I think the identity is still very much to be determined, but it's definitely built from the back end out. So I think they're going to have to really lean on their defense and then try to create a lot of offense in transition using that speed. But I think it's tough to tell. You know, I haven't seen much of them. We don't have the exhibition games, and even though last season they didn't have exhibition games, I feel like we knew the cast of characters a little bit better than we do with this group. So I think there's a lot of question marks, and it's going to be interesting to see what they do tomorrow night.
This is a huge defense. Do the Comets sacrifice maybe puck handling or speed by having so many big defensemen?
Well, 10 years ago, I would have said absolutely. But, the way hockey is now, I mean, that's the typical size for the defenseman, 6'2" and over. And But they've had big defenses before, where they've gone into the season really puffing their chest about how big these guys are, and that hasn't translated into the physical play and the kind of bruising defense that you expect. So I think it's very much, again, kind of wait and see how this develops. Some of those bigger guys are guys that are going to be a little bit more offensive And, you know, you've even got one guy who used to be a forward. So, again, I think the defense and how they're going to play is still a little bit yet to be determined.
I keep hearing a lot of buzz about the Jones brothers and about how big that signing was and how it changes the entire hockey club having those guys at that caliber coming in to play for the Comets. I don't know their game. I haven't seen them play. What can you tell me about the Jones brothers that should excite me about having them on the Fort Wayne Comets?
Well, one of them played in the NHL, so, you know, that should be a little bit exciting. But the best comparison I can probably give you is if you remember the Sedin twins with the Vancouver Canucks for many, many years, this is going to be sort of the ECHL level of that. So two guys that are both very skilled, going to be using a lot of speed, who have always played on the same line and know each other's tendencies so well. You know, Connor is going to be a little bit more, he's the center, so he'll be, I think a little bit more of the smoother guy. But, you know, they should be really good playmakers who are willing to get their noses dirty a little bit. But they've also been playing in Europe the last few years, and the style of play there is very different. So will they revert back to the way they played when they were juniors, or will they be like they were in Europe where there isn't that physical play, or will they be like they were in the AHL for many years, which was more role players? And the investment here is that they're going to be like they were in juniors and be those kind of elite scorers that Fort Wayne needs because they're replacing so many of those guys.
You know, Coney, I've had this on my mind for some time, and you just made me remember. I still haven't asked the question. When guys go play in Europe, does Europe use our American ice size, or is it an Olympic ice size?
It depends on the league, but it's usually the larger ice size. And that's why some of those guys were so excited in the playoffs last year when they were going to get to play on some of those big rinks because they were used to that ice size. Mm-hmm. But the short answer to the question is it depends on the league that you're playing.
One of the things you pointed out in your story, your preview story about things to look for with the Comets was their success on the power play and on the penalty kill a year ago. I mean, I think a lot of that can be attributed to the fact that the Comets were really good in the faceoff circle. I mean, they won faceoffs, and a lot of that was A.J. Jenks. He's not here. Who takes over that role? And is that a skill that you either have or don't have, or can you develop a skill to become a good guy in a faceoff?
I've definitely seen guys develop it. And, you know, more than anything, though, it's just about reaction time and guessing right and being able to read your opponent. I mean, you know, I don't want to say it's a coin flip because it's not, but it's not as much about what you do as the way your instincts are, at least in my opinion. So who's going to take over those roles? I think Stephen Harper is probably the one that you look at, but also Connor Jones, because he's got so much experience doing it. Drake Rimsha is the other center, but I'm sure they'll have other guys come in and take faceoffs. And as for the special teams, yeah, I think that was part of it. I think having some really good offensive defensemen was part of it last year. I think the numbers were also a little bit deceptive because it was a shorter season and because they were playing so many games against Wheeling, which was not good on some special teams, and even Indy. So to expect them to be number one in power play and penalty kill again this year, that's a big ask. But if they could be in the top five of both, they would be, you know, in really good position.
Do we know anything about Wheeling's roster?
I haven't taken a real close look at it, to be honest with you. I know they have some of the guys back from last season, but I haven't really dug that deep into it.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question about the Comets. The C, and I tried to get this out of Coach Boudreaux earlier today. I'm going to try again when we have him on in the next hour. Do you know who's going to be wearing the C tomorrow night?
I, being honest with you, I do not 100% know. I've got a pretty educated guess at it. But, you know, I've also heard that there's been some differing, arguments on who it should be. I mean, I would be absolutely shocked if it's not one of the following four players. Anthony Petruzzelli, Matt Bowden, Zach Tolkanen, or Connor Jones. And that was said in no particular order.
Hmm. Who chooses? Ultimately, who makes that decision?
I mean, it depends on the team, the organization, the year. You ask a good question. I believe that it's Ben will make the call with probably some input from David. But I've seen it done different ways. I've seen team votes. In Fort Wayne, it's usually the coach that picks it. Like, I remember very clearly twice, you know, Gary Graham just being like, this is who it's going to be. So it depends on the year and how they want to do it. But usually it's the coach and the GM kind of making that collective decision.
Such a light schedule to start the season. Comets have three goalies listed on their roster. How do you handle three goalies, keep them all sharp, while only having a couple of games over the first 2 weeks?
Well, one thing to keep in mind is it's not totally their decision. I mean, especially when you have an NHL contracted guy, you have to be in contact with Vegas and let them know what you're thinking and see how they feel about it. So, you know, how I would imagine we'll see one guy play this week and another guy play next week. And then, you know, you really get into the meat of the schedule, you're going to need all three of those guys. But I'm just going best guess. I think it would be Lekas that plays tomorrow because he's got some more experience. It's going to be presumably a large crowd opening night. You got the banner and all that stuff. So I think you'd rather have a guy that's got a little bit more maturity for that situation and a little more experience. But I could also see Vegas saying, well, look, we gave you Patero. We want to see him play. And that would not surprise me at all either.
Yeah, because they got him here before the season started, maybe for a reason. What about the AHL guys? Still a couple of guys, aren't they, that are still sticking with AHL clubs?
Yeah, Steven Aller and Tyler Busch are both with Henderson. And Matt Murphy, who hasn't actually been signed by Fort Wayne, but we sort of assumed he would return, is still in Belleville. So I think all three of those guys will be here sooner than later. You know, Henderson right now is just really shorthanded, and that was a big reason why they kept those guys. But they've also been playing really well. So, you know, my philosophy is always until they're here, I would not assume anything, even if they're telling me, oh, we're confident they're going to be here. But those three guys, and I would think some more guys would probably be coming from Vegas at some point.
You've covered a lot of hockey, Justin. So, what are you looking forward to see? What do you want to see and are anxious to see out of this team tomorrow night?
Well, you know, one thing I think is kind of interesting is, you know, they are already pretty tired of hearing the asterisk talk from their championship. So, you know, one would hope that they come out this season, you know, really trying to kind of prove a point. And I really think when they play teams like Toledo, you're really going to see stuff like that. But, you know, day one, I think you need to temper your expectations for the first couple games just because there's so much turnover. Some of these guys haven't played in a year and a half, no exhibition games. You know, there's going to be pressure with the cup and all that stuff tomorrow. So I just think it's a big ask to expect them to play a really polished game early on. But what I would like to see is just intensity, hitting, and, you know, some speed. And then I think goaltending, it all just relies on goaltending this year. And just to throw one thing out from last year, remember, there was all those games where they would give up a goal on the first shot. I think it happened maybe five or six times. I mean, that's insane. So they need to make sure that they come out ready in games and have good goaltending and sort of build for the long haul.
Sounds great, Justin. We'll look forward to the coverage. Of course, follow it all season long. So many ways to keep up with what's happening with the Comets. And the newsletter, too. Tell us about the newsletter you've got.
Well, anybody can you know, basically sign up for a newsletter, and it comes to your inbox with you know, the most recent Comet stories we have. So it's really a good thing for people who are not necessarily, you know, checking our website, you know, two, three times a day, which a lot of people do, and you just kind of want it sent to you and see what you've missed out on, and maybe it prepares you for the coming weekend or recaps you on what you missed in the last couple games.
And, of course, be sure you get your subscription to the Journal-Gazette and follow Justin Cohn on Twitter at SportsICone. Appreciate it, Justin.
All right, appreciate it.
Yep, Justin Cohn from the Journal-Gazette joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Still coming up on the show in the next hour, we talk Indiana football. Indiana Hoosiers taking on the Ohio State Buckeyes tomorrow night down in Bloomington. Zach Osterman will give us his thoughts on what to expect from the Hoosiers, and can they compete against the Ohio State Buckeyes? What are some of the keys to the game? We'll find out with Zach Osterman. And Comet fans, we will talk to the coach, Ben Boudreau. He'll be on the show coming up at around 5:30. It's all part of a Friday edition of the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Brad Rump, Caleb Hatch, 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Questions, comments, suggestions, fire away at 46862. Don't forget, coming up later tonight, 6 o'clock, we start the festivities up at Kendallville at East Noble High School as the Leo Lions visit the East Noble Knights. We've got Jim Shannon and Dute standing by for the Parkview Sports Medicine High School football tailgate pregame show. They'll be under the tent just as you walk into the stadium. Be sure to stop by, enjoy part of the show, say hi to the guys. Might even have a koozie, a can cooler for you. So go ahead and check that out. 46862, 46862 is the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. I'm checking here. I'm reading while I'm talking. And trying to see if we've got any texts that have come in. I don't know. Fridays are usually a pretty slow day for texts. You know why they're slow for texts? Everybody's in a hurry. Everybody wants to get somewhere.
Someone just texted Zach Pacheco. That was it.
Oh, for the captain?
Okay. Yeah, that would make sense.
That's for the captain.
That's probably what that's
for. Is Pacheco here? I don't even know if Pacheco's here. I'd have to check that roster they sent us yesterday to see if Zach Pacheco's on it. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Questions, comments, or suggestions. Big day for college football tomorrow. Caleb, what game do you look forward to the most? Three big ones here in Indiana. Purdue, Wisconsin, Indiana, Ohio State, Notre Dame, USC. Which one has the most intrigue to you?
Of the three, is it wrong that I want to say a tie between Notre Dame, USC, and Purdue, Wisconsin? Because the Purdue, Wisconsin game, I see as an opportunity for Purdue to really move forward on the season and get themselves to be a lock for bowl eligibility. A win tomorrow, I mean, is almost all but assures they're going to get there, get to at least six wins. For Notre Dame, USC, I mean, it's just the quarterback roulette. What are you going to get out of the quarterback play? The line play is maybe shored up. The Irish look better against Virginia Tech. And USC is a chameleon of a team. You don't know if you're going to get good USC or bad USC. They seem to be a lot better on the road than at home, so that adds some intrigue there.
They also, I think they can score points. I think the problems for USC is being able to get stops. And so for Notre Dame, I think they're going to have to score. They've got to generate offense. And I'm not sure which quarterback it comes from. You know, I haven't been as hard on Jack Cohn as some have been. I understand the inconsistency. I still think he can – I still think – Wisconsin made a mistake, picked the wrong guy, but that doesn't mean that Cone's the best in Notre Dame. Buckner, I don't think, is the guy full-time. I think eventually, as they have a chance to maybe build the entire offense around him and maybe change a few of the things that they do offensively, it will get better. Right now, I think the offense is too limited on the number of plays that he can come in and run for him to run the offense full-time. But and he still hasn't necessarily proven himself as a high-level passer. But you know, there's a lot of people, I think, that are Notre Dame fans that think Drew Pine should be the guy, that he showed enough in his substitute performance that he should be the starter over Jack Cohn. I don't know. I'm 50-50.
It was puzzling that he played so well in the second half against Cincinnati and gave Notre Dame an opportunity in that game to come back and kind of led them back before Cincinnati had that touchdown drive to really close it out. It was puzzling that he didn't get any reps in the game against Virginia Tech. I will say Buckner took a huge step forward. They let him have more of the playbook against Virginia Tech when he came in. Yeah, it went well until halftime, and then after that it was a mess with a couple of picks in the second half. He's the future. He'll likely be the starter next season. I don't think that's really a surprise. But Cohn gives you the best opportunity to throw the ball down the field and have the quick strike offense. If the line is just decent, I think Notre Dame rolls in this game.
By the way, speaking of the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, if you sent a text that was intended for your boo, it ended up coming to us. You may want to resend it to your boo. It says, I got you, boo. By the way, I'm leaving at 2. So if you sent that text, I don't think it was intended for those of us here at the radio station. Got to us by mistake. Have you ever sent a really embarrassing text to someone that you didn't intend for it to go to?
Oh,
you
did? Oh, yeah. I've done it before.
Can we tell the story?
It's just pretty simple. I was texting a friend after I'd gone on a date several years ago, and it was talking about said date, and sent it to her and not the friend.
Oh, my gosh. How was the date?
It was fine. But
did she think the text was fine and the way you explained it, or did you ever have another date again?
Didn't go out again.
Oh boy, that's a tough one.
But that was pretty bad. So that's probably the worst case. We've seen people text in on the text line before. I think it was someone trying to like win someone back, and like it was this whole long thing.
Yeah.
So people mistakenly text here all the time.
There's plenty of texts that people are sending that they're careless with. And I'm probably I do it all the time. Send stuff accidentally to someone else that makes no sense. And what happens is I'm in the middle of texting and then someone texts in and I'll look at what they text. And then when I go back and type up my text, I'm on them instead of the person I meant to send it to. And I don't realize it. So yeah, I've had the... Is there a name for that? There needs to be a name. You know, like how people come up with new names? When you're texting somebody and it goes to someone else by accident, there should be a name for that. Maybe one of our listeners can come up with the new Webster's Dictionary term for sending a text inadvertently to the wrong person, because I don't think there is actually a name for it. Should be a one-word answer because it's pretty common. 46862 Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Purdue, Wisconsin. I like Purdue's chances. I think Purdue's going to play well. They didn't play well their last home game, so I think they're going to come out ready to play against Wisconsin. They now have a certain confidence about them after what they did with Iowa, and you don't want to just give back what you did against Iowa by losing at home to Wisconsin. Wisconsin, I feel, is a pretty one-dimensional team because I don't think they're going to beat you through the air. And Purdue's defense did a heck of a job on Iowa on the ground, holding the Hawkeyes, a team that can run the football, to just 76 rushing yards on 30 attempts. So, and the pass defense was good against Iowa as well. And I feel like Iowa is pretty similar in their structure of offense as far as what they try to do. Establish the run, go play action pass, try to play with the lead. I think one of the important parts of this football game with Purdue and Wisconsin is, can Purdue get the lead? Can Purdue force Wisconsin to maybe break from their mold and try to throw the football a little more than they're comfortable throwing it? And I think with McConnell and David Bell, they've got a combination that can make some plays, perhaps jump out early and get a lead.
I think another thing that people are starting to catch on to, but it's still probably overlooked right now, Purdue defense is really good. I mean, they're 13th going into this week and yards allowed per game. They've cut down their points allowed from last year at about 29 down to 14 this year, 100 yards less a game this year overall as well in yards allowed. So that's a really good defense that's improving. And I think Purdue having a much improved defense against a Wisconsin offense that is struggling, I think I give the Boilers the edge here.
46862 Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Purdue, Wisconsin tomorrow, and then night games, Indiana, Ohio State. I made it clear that I think Ohio State's got the advantage in this one, and I just don't know what Indiana can do, because I think for Indiana, it's personnel. The offensive line has just not played well. Ty Freifogel has not been the receiver that we saw against the Buckeyes a year ago. I don't know that they'll see that Freifogel. And then you get to the quarterback position without time to throw, without any threat of a running game. And the threat of the running game is not because of the running back, because I think Stephen Carr can run the football. I just don't think Stephen Carr has a chance to get any kind of lanes to run in, because Indiana's offensive line has just stunk it up bad this year. And it's a line that returned pretty much everybody from a year ago. So I just see Indiana not being able to handle Ohio State at the line of scrimmage with their offensive line against the front seven of Ohio State, and I think that's where the game ends up being dominated. Indiana struggles to score. Indiana can't compete, even if they play good defense. And I think Indiana defensively can actually limit Ohio State, but you don't shut out Ohio State. They've got too many guys that make plays. They're still going to score 3-4 touchdowns, even if you have a great defensive effort. And I just don't know that Indiana can score that often against the Ohio State defense.
Yeah, they simply don't have the weapons on offense to compete with the Buckeyes. I'll be shocked if IU can keep it 21 points or less for the final score. I really will be.
So coming up on the show, we've got Zach Osterman to talk more about the Indiana Hoosiers-Ohio State Buckeyes matchup. Also, Comet coach Ben Boudreau, he will join us to talk about the season opener coming up tomorrow night. High school football picks of the week. We tell you the winners and losers in high school football. We've got that coming up at about 5:40. And at 6 o'clock, we turn it over to the guys who are up in Kendallville tonight. East Noble hosting the Leo Lions. Big Class 4A sectional matchup right away out of the gate in round one. Yes, it should not be a round one game, but I won't get into that argument right now. But it is East Noble Leo tonight, and we've got the Parkview Sports Medicine High School Football Tailgate pregame show standing by. Jim, Shannon, and Dute starting at 6. 7 o'clock, Shannon Griffith and I with the call of Leo at East Noble, followed by the Indiana Physical Therapy postgame show live from the Kendallville Pizza Hut. And it is you bringing us the scores tonight, right, Caleb?
Correct.
So join us up until 11 o'clock tonight for all your high school football coverage. We will take a break. We're going to come back. Second hour on the way.
Podcasts by Federated Media.